Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're going to read chapter 3 from the Srimad Bhagavatam on the birth of Lord Krishna, from the Krishna book actually. Okay. Is it the birth of Lord Krishna? I'll just read this. I was just ready just to read the birth of Lord Krishna, since today's the last day. Jai. So, it's a very beautiful occasion to be here and being able to celebrate the appearance of Lord Krishna. Considering in the material world, so many people today are not even realizing or understanding what magnanimous of a day it actually is, due to so many distractions and due to ignorance. I thought it'd be kind of nice just to say a few words in the beginning here about the Srimad Bhagavatam. I was reading the other day how Srila Prabhupada was saying that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, he happened to run across the Brahma Samhita. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that the Brahma Samhita is the summary study of the Srimad Bhagavat. And I thought that was very interesting because so many people, scholars and sometimes impersonalists, they say that this Krishna is simply mythology, that there's no real person like Krishna, to discredit the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I thought it was kind of interesting that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that the Brahma Samhita is a summary study. Now, as devotees, we have a little bit of understanding, a history of the creation of this world. First of all, we understand that Lord Brahma, he's actually the original, the father of creation. Pitamaha, grandfather, Prabhupada called it Pitamata Maha, the grandfather. And we know that he was instructed about Krishna consciousness through the heart, Tene Brahma Hrida, Hrida heart, H-R-D-A, Hrida, the heart, through the heart. And this is very important because so many times people consider this to be not real, not possible. But it is possible. So I thought maybe we'd just say a little something about that. We know that Lord Brahma was the one that spoke the Brahma Samhita. We see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He certifies, verifies that Lord Chaitanya verified that Brahma was the original person and that Krishna is God. So I think this is very important to know. And it's also important to know that Krishna, he transferred this transcendental knowledge through Brahma, through the heart. And Brahma was alone at that time. He was on this lotus flower. He couldn't see Krishna eye to eye. He didn't know what was going on. But we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sacharan Ishvara Parama Bhutanam Hideshya Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantarudani Mayaya, that Krishna, he's sitting in each and every living being's heart. And he's actually controlling the wanderings of all living entities. And these living entities are sitting as on a machine. This is what we actually are. We're a spirit soul, and we're sitting in a machine. And when I read that, it always the same thing comes to my mind. I feel like I'm just like a person sitting on a big tractor or something. I don't know why I think a tractor, but it keeps coming to my mind. I know we use the car as the example, but for some reason, I must have been a farmer at one time. I keep thinking sitting on this big old huge tractor and driving a tractor. It's like a big machine. So that's what we're actually doing. We're in a machine. That's what we are. We're a spirit soul in a machine or on a machine. And this is being controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see that Krishna, he instructed Lord Brahma through the heart about the material world, about the existence of the living entity. Could we open some doors? Isn't it hot in here? Yeah, it's hot. So maybe we could open that side door. So Krishna, he comes and he gives us so many opportunities. So he was there and he gave that knowledge to Lord Brahma. And so Krishna is also known as Chaita Guru, the Guru within. And he gives instruction. And then Krishna also instructs externally. So not only internally, but externally. And he instructs externally through the manifestation of the Guru, the spiritual master. So Krishna is so kind. He gives us so many opportunities. If one is very advanced and Krishna conscious, he'll speak through the heart to that living entity. And then he'll give him intelligence. Sarvasya hamridi sanivisto matasmitir gyanam opohanam cha. If the living entity wants to remember, Krishna will give him that understanding. If he wants to forget, Krishna will also oblige. It's however the living entity wants. And what's so important here is that this parampara system, it has the power of purification. If one is fortunate enough to come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, a bona fide representative through the process of the parampara, one can understand the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just that simple. I mean, I thought that was so amazing. Because here we are, we have no ability really. We have no real intelligence. We're all completely entangled in this material world. But we see that if we come in contact with a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord, that we can actually understand the activities of the Lord. And this is actually amazing. And in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma even says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadya Adya Govinda Karanam Karana. Yep. So he says Karanam Karana Karanam, that this Karana Karanam is very important, because by this understanding we can actually come to Krishna consciousness. Very, very simple. Hold on. Sorry. So, this understanding of who Krishna is coming through the parampara, through Lord Brahma. And we see that Brahma is created by Gobardhakashaya Vishnu, who's an expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So just this particular history, just to kind of verify that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is Govinda. He has a body which is blissful. He has a body that's eternal, a body that is full of knowledge. And we are equal to that in terms of the soul. We don't have the capacity that Krishna has, but we are spirit soul. We're also eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So when we come in contact with the pure devotees of the Lord, we are actually being able to capture or captivate or understand the purpose of the Supreme Lord, why he comes, what's his reasoning. And we see that the pure devotee of the Lord, he gives us this information which is so important. Everybody in the world wants peace and tranquility. Everybody wants to be happy. But due to this bodily consciousness, ameti, aham ameti, this body, thinking I am this body, I and mine, I am this body, this is mine. So this illusion is very, very powerful. But if we don't follow the instruction of Krishna, the formula that Krishna gives us, then we'll never break out of this bodily consciousness. Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatyavamam sanchamrichati. He states very nicely that Krishna is the proprietor of both the material and spiritual world. Krishna is one's best friend, that any austerity or sacrifices that we may perform should be done for his satisfaction. This is the formula needed to get out of the bodily consciousness of life and to actually become satisfied. Because if we understand those three principles, it says that one will become freed from the pangs of material nature. And this is important. If we don't come and overcome the pangs of material nature, we'll never understand who we are. We'll never understand that we're a spirit soul, that we're part and parcel of Krishna. Impossible to understand. But we're given this very freely. It's given to us so free, it's incredible, that anyone that wants can come through the door. It doesn't matter who and they are. If they just walk in the door and they come in contact with the devotees, immediately they're given the opportunity to understand the importance of life. Amritattva. Amritattva means that immortality. Everyone wants to live forever. No one wants to die. No one wants to get sick. None of these things. Get old. It's hellish to get old. So many difficulties, so many problems, and we want immortality. But this immortality can't happen unless we come in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord. It can't happen. And this is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to teach people about the Krishna Conscious Movement. Manmana bhava madbhakta majjajimam namaskuru. Krishna simply says, bow down before me, surrender unto me, become my devotee. All these things, this is Krishna's formula. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya upachati. My mouth isn't working right. So Krishna says that with devotion and love, we offer him a water, a fruit, a leaf. It's not that Krishna needs it. He's not hungry. But he says that so that we'll become his devotee. Now, Krishna's not hungry. He can do whatever he wants. He's his own person. We're simply his parts. But he wants us to become a devotee. And the way he's telling us that we become a devotee is by offering these simple little items to him, but with devotion, with love. Krishna wants our love and devotion. This is the real essence of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. But we should be aware that in the process of Krishna Consciousness, that we don't forget that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. I was just looking at the Ishopanishad yesterday. And it says there that everything belongs to Krishna. Now, this is very difficult to accept because of this aham mameti, this bodily concept of life. We're thinking with this body. Very difficult. We have the right to use all of our father's property, but not to take more than what we need. So anything more than that, it's actually punishable. It says in Bhagavatam, stena eva sa uchate, that if a person takes more than their quota, he's a thief. And this is very important to know, because what is our quota? We learn our quota by the association of a pure devotee and of the devotees. This is how we learn what our quota is. If we associate with non-devotees, you'll see that there's an unlimited quota. You can do whatever you like. There's no stoppage. If you don't take more than your quota, if you associate with the materialists, then you're considered to be a failure. You're considered to not have the proper understanding, and you need to be schooled so that you can take more than your quota or make your own quota. So this is, for a devotee, this understanding is extremely important. Yagnatar kamana krishna lokayam karma bandhanaha niyatra, niyatra, that's what it is. And lokayam karma bandhana. So yajna means Krishna, and we have to work for Krishna. So when we read these pastimes of Lord Krishna, he's here for that purpose, to teach us what we're supposed to do, what our quota is, and also what dharma is. Yada yada hi dharma shaglanya bhavati bharata. He comes to teach us what real dharma is. Prabhupada says that dharma means directions given by Krishna. Krishna gives directions of how and what we should do. So when Krishna appears, he's giving us directions. And the Krishna Conscious Movement is trying to awaken the conditioned spirit soul in the material world. We're trying to wake up Jeev Jago, wake up so many conditioned souls into the science of Krishna consciousness. And unless we ourselves understand it, it's very difficult to give it to someone else. Very, very difficult. So we ourselves have to practice this science of Krishna consciousness. This is not just something whimsical. The Krishna conscious movement is very, very practical. It's real. It exists since time immemorial, just like the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's eternal. It's been here forever. So the science of devotional service or bhakti yoga is there forever because it's in relationship to the eternal, to the spirit soul, to the supreme soul, Lord Krishna. So when we're reading these particular pastimes of Krishna, it's very important to understand that whatever Krishna does, for us, it may, because of our teeny brains, it's very difficult for us to understand everything that he does, if not impossible. And sometimes it says that even Krishna doesn't know all the things that he does. So we shouldn't take these things as being mythological or unreal, but they're actually real. They're actually really what Krishna did. It comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is there for eternality. And we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself verified the existence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so I just thought I'd say those few words before we begin. We'll be reading the birth of Lord Krishna. All right. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept the material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was predominant. This star is considered to be very auspicious and is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky, and on the surface in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the brahmanas who were accustomed to offering sacrifices in the fire found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the brahmanas had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The denizens of the Gandharva and Kunara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddha Loka and the planets of the Chanaras began to offer prayers in the service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels and their wives, along with the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. All at the seashore there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of the night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just like a full moon. In an astronomical treatise by the name Kamanikya, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands, holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Sri Vatsa, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kostuba stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and beautified by an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudev was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? Vasudev could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudev very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity conditioned by material nature and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudev glanced at his child, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations, and in my home, although I am in prison, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions and millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudev, who is also called Anakadundubhi, was looking at his newborn baby, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows in charity to the brahmanas. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya king's palace, out of joy, the king gives many things in charity. Cows decorated with golden ornaments are delivered to the brahmanas and sages. Vasudev wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance. But because he was shackled within the walls of Kamsa's prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to the brahmanas. When Vasudev was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudev was in the transcendental position, and he became completely free from all fear of Kamsa. The newborn baby was also flashing his effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudev then began to offer his prayers. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of Kamsa, you have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudev. To eradicate this argument, Vasudev said, "My dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you have appeared within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself to Shiradakshayi Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you have appeared as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, but just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence, and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from the Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Therefore, originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts the material qualities. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. He is outside this material creation, and he is also within it. He is within this material creation, not only as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he is also within the atom. The existence of the atom is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunctions, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out because nothing exists independently of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of his potency. Both inert matter and the living force, the soul, are emanations from him. Well, there we go. Okay. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to have accepted a material body, he is still not subjected to any material condition. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord, your appearance, existence, and disappearance are beyond the influence of the material qualities. Because your Lordship is the Supreme Brahman and the controller of everything, there is nothing inconceivable or contradictory in you. As you have said, material nature works under your superintendence, just like a government officer working under the orders of the chief executive. The influence of subordinate activities cannot affect you. Since you are the Supreme Brahman, everything is existing within you. And since all the activities of material nature are controlled by your Lordship, none of these activities affect you. You are called Shuklam. Shuklam, or whiteness, is a symbolic representation of the Absolute Truth because it is unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rakta, or red, because Brahma represents the quality of passion for creation. Darkness is entrusted to Lord Shiva because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation are conducted by your potencies, yet you are always unaffected by those qualities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Harir Hi Nirguna Shaksat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always free from all material qualities. It is also said that the qualities of passion and ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Supreme Lord. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Great, maintaining the order of this cosmic manifestation. Yet in spite of your being the Supreme Controller, you have so kindly appeared in my home. The purpose of your appearance is to kill the followers of the demoniac rulers of the world, who are in the dress of royal princes, who are actually demons. I am sure that you will kill all of them and their followers and soldiers. I understand that you have appeared in order to kill the uncivilized Kamsa and his followers. But knowing that you were to appear in order to kill him and his followers, he has already killed so many of your predecessors, your elder brothers. Now he is simply awaiting the news of your birth. As soon as he hears about it, he will immediately appear with all kinds of weapons to kill you. After this prayer of Vasudeva, Devaki, the mother of Krishna, offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayan, Lord Brahma, Hayashirsha, Varaha, Nrsimha, Vamana, Baladev, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. After millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva then enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic Pradhana, and the Pradhana enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested and total energy and the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies. All the conditioned souls are continually fleeing from one body to another and one planet to another, yet they do not get free from the onslaught of birth and death. But when one of these fearful living entities comes under the shelter of your lotus feet, he can lie down without anxiety of being attacked by formidable death. This statement by Devaki confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. There the Lord says that even after traveling all over the universe, from Brahmaloka to Patalaloka, one cannot escape the attack of birth, death, disease, and old age. But one who enters the kingdom of God, the Lord says, is never again obliged to come to the material world. Therefore, my Lord, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena. I am praying to you, to your Lordship, to please rescue me from this fearful condition, because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed this statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, You may declare to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki nonetheless expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages, but I am still afraid because as soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear from my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord Madhusudana, Kamsa may not know that you are already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this four-armed form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end... My dear Lord, at the end of annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotee. On hearing the prayers of Devaki, the Lord replied, my dear mother, in the millennium of Svayambhuva Manu, my father Vasudeva was living as one of the Prajapatis. His name at that time was Sutapa, and you were his wife named Prishni. At that time, when Lord Brahma was desiring to increase the population, he requested you to generate offspring. You controlled your senses and performed severe austerities. By practicing the breathing exercises of the yoga system, both you and your husband could tolerate all the influences of the material laws. The rainy season, the onslaught of the wind, and the scorching heat of the sunshine. You also executed all religious principles. In this way, you were able to cleanse your heart and control the influence of the material laws. In executing your austerity, you used to eat only the leaves of the trees which fell to the ground. Then, with a steady mind and controlled sex drive, you worshiped me, desiring some wonderful benediction from me. Both of you practiced severe austerities for 12,000 years by the calculation of the demigods. During that time, your mind was always absorbed in me. When you were executing devotional service and always thinking of me within your heart, I was very much pleased with you. O sinless mother, your heart is therefore always pure. At that time, also, I appeared before you in this form just to fulfill your desire, and I asked you to ask whatever you desired. At that time, you wished to have me born as your son. Although you saw me personally, instead of asking for your complete liberation from material bondage under the influence of my energy, you asked me to become your son. In other words, to appear in the material world, the Lord selected his mother and father, namely Prishni and Sutapa, respectively. Whenever the Lord comes as a human being, he must have a mother and father. So he selected Prishni and Sutapa perpetually as his mother and father. And on account of this, neither Prishni nor Sutapa could ask the Lord for liberation. Liberation is not so important as the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord could have awarded Prishni and Sutapa immediate liberation, but he preferred to keep them within this material world for his different appearances, as will be explained in the following verses. On receiving the benediction from the Lord, to become his father and mother, Prishni and Sutapa retired from the activities of austerity and lived as husband and wife in order to beget a child who was the Supreme Lord himself. In due course of time, Prishni became pregnant and gave birth to the child. The Lord spoke to Devaki and Vasudeva, quote, at that time my name was Prishni Garbha. In the next millennium, you took birth as Aditi and Kasyapa, and I became your child of the name Upendra. At that time, my form was just like a dwarf, and for this reason, I am known as Vamanadeva. I gave you the benediction that I would take birth as your son three times. The first time, I was known as Prishni Garbha, born of the Prishni and Sutapa. In the next birth, I was Upendra, born of Aditi and Kasyapa. And now for the third time, I am born as Krishna from you, Devaki and Vasudeva. I've appeared in this Vishnu form just to convince you that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, again, taking birth. I could have appeared just like an ordinary child, but in that way, you would not have believed that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken birth in your womb. My dear father and mother, you have therefore raised me many times as your child, with great affection and love, and I am therefore very much pleased and obliged to you. And I assure you that this time, you shall go back home, back to Godhead, on account of your perfection in your mission. I know you are very concerned about me and afraid of Kamsa. Therefore, I order you to take me immediately to Gokula and exchange me for the daughter who has just been born to Yashoda. Having spoken thus to his father and mother, the Lord turned himself into an ordinary child in their presence and remained silent. Being ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva prepared to take his son from the delivery room, and exactly at that time, a daughter was born to Nanda and Yashoda. She was Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. By the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, all the residents of Kamsa's palace, especially the doorkeepers, were overwhelmed with deep sleep, and all the palace doors opened, although they were barred and shackled with iron chains. The night was very dark, but as soon as Vasudeva took Krishna on his lap and went out, he could see everything just as in the sunlight. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna is just like sunlight, and wherever there is Krishna, the illusory energy, which is compared to darkness, cannot remain. When Vasudeva was carrying Krishna, the darkness of the night disappeared. All the prison doors automatically opened. At the same time, there was thunder in the sky and severe rainfall. While Vasudeva was carrying his son Krishna in the falling rain, Lord Shesha, in the shape of a serpent, spread his hood over the head of Vasudeva so that he would not be hampered by the rainfall. Vasudeva came onto the bank of the Yamuna and saw that the river of the Yamuna was roaring with waves and that the whole span was full of foam. Still, in that furious feature, the river gave passage to Vasudeva to cross, just as the great Indian Ocean gave a path to Lord Ram when he was bridging over the gulf. In this way, Vasudeva crossed the river Yamuna. On the other side, he went to the place of Nanda Maharaj, situated in Gokula, where he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. He took the opportunity to silently enter the house of Yashoda, and without difficulty exchanged his son for the baby girl newly born there. Then, after entering the house very silently and exchanging the boy for the girl, he returned to the prison of Kamsa and silently put the girl on the lap of Devaki. He again clamped the shackles on himself so that Kamsa could not recognize that so many things had happened. Mother Yashoda understood that a child had been born to her, but because she was very tired from the labor of childbirth, she fell fast asleep. When she awoke, she could not remember whether she had given birth to a male or a female child. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport, the chapter of Krishna, the birth of Lord Krishna. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, any questions or comments, additions? So, as we were saying before, you know, we all are anxious and we want peace and tranquility in the society. So we should take very seriously to understand the Supreme Lord Krishna. We shouldn't neglect this movement or treat it neglectfully. It's so powerful, so important, because the Prabhupada has said many times that this movement can actually solve all the problems of life. It's very scientific. It's authorized. It's not a mental creation, as we read from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not somebody's mental concoction or sentimental movement. It's a very serious movement. It's a very sublime movement for the welfare of the whole human race. And the purpose of reading these pastimes of Krishna is to illustrate to everyone that there is a Supreme Lord, and that the ultimate goal of human life is to become immortal. That's really the ultimate goal. We should want to become immortal, because if we do, then we live eternally with Krishna, and we get out of this material existence. So tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. Yes, if we actually just remember Krishna and we'll never come back again. As you can see, we're living in this material world. We meet people every day, which is really unfortunate. They're living in such a hellish condition. Prabhupada said many times they're living like cats and dogs, really. They have no idea what the future lies for them. So we simply have to understand Krishna's pastimes. Janma karma chame divyam yojanati tatvataha. By truth, tatvataha. We have to know Krishna in truth. And this can only come from the lips of a pure devotee. And in this way, if we understand that, then we can become liberated. We can get out of these clutches of material existence. And Krishna advanced himself to teach us this lesson, to help us understand that we're immortal, that we're parts and parcels of him, and that we're simply struggling in this material world for so many reasons. But if we simply just surrender and perform a little austerity, tapo divyam putraka yena sudyat, if we just perform a little bit of austerity, then we'll become happy, satisfied. This is really the essence of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So anything else? Parking? What can I say? I don't know what to say. They're probably not in this room. So we'll just have to figure it out. Okay. Shri Krishna Jamastami Ki Jai. Hari Bol.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastachare Shatavine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bol. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Ma, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.